Hey everyone, coming up we're going to talk about a little movie that opened up this past weekend called Jurassic World, in case you haven't heard about it. Also, we're going to be talking about the world's saddest news this week, the permanent closure of Wet n Wild Orlando. All that and more coming up live from the Bob Varley Studio in Orlando, Florida. This is the Diz Unplugged Universal Edition. Well, this is so much more boring without music, I gotta tell you. Oh, hey, this is episode 41 of the Diz Unplugged Universal Edition. Yeah, so boring. And the Diz Unplugged Universal Edition is brought to you by Dreams Unlimited Travel, experts at helping you plan the perfect vacation. Visit them on the web at www.dreamsunlimitedtravel.com. Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Diz Unplugged Universal Edition. I am your host, Craig Williams, sitting in a very bizarre normal seat because, well, I felt like it, and I am joined with me. Well, not with me, but they're also here. Rhino Clavin.
Hello.
Hello. And Jenny Lynn Nupp.
Hey, guys.
And if you can see from that table, those are the only two people there, and that's because Dustin West is currently on a cruise in Alaska.
How boring.
Sunshine State.
How lame.
It is. It's extremely lame, considering that Alaska is, you know, a place that people usually travel to on a yearly basis. It's not really that much of a big deal. But he will be missed this episode, considering the subject matter, which is mostly about Jurassic World and its impact over this past weekend with its outstanding box office numbers.
I do have to throw something out there before I forget. Since we were doing all those movie quotes, a friend of mine, Tracy, was she watched the episode and was like, I'm real disappointed with you guys when I think it was Dustin or one of us said that we were like trying to speed it up. And she's like, why didn't anybody say, must go faster, must go faster? And I was real disappointed with myself.
Well, yeah, there was another one, and I guess I'll just get to it. I was going to save it until later on, and still might just for another part of it. But Shane, of course, our lovely friend Shane, who writes to us as much as he can and talks to us as much as he can, he said, hey, y'all, I listened to the Jurassic Park episode twice because it was just that funny.
Thanks, Shane.
Yeah, sure. Sure it was. And by his count, we did 35 jokes, quotes, or references to Jurassic Park. And I shouldn't say we did.
I would say probably Rhino did.
Yeah, it was
35. Wow. Good for us.
Good job, Rhino.
That's an average of one. That's like one every 2 minutes. Well, less than that, because that episode was, I think, just...
It
was
about 30 minutes. Quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. So we did...
We'll see how many we get out today. Yeah.
Well, as a group, we did 35. Because I know I threw one in, and JL threw one in. And,
I got one in.
Yeah, we all got at least one thing.
Does he have the tally on the Congo quotes that we did? Is that present in that email?
Unfortunately, it wasn't, but I don't know if anyone was paying attention to the fact that we even mentioned Congo, even once. That was definitely one of the lower parts of that show, considering it had absolutely nothing to do with anything that was going on. But for the whole next 2 weeks while I was in Europe, all I could keep thinking about was the sesame cake.
The sesame cake?
Yeah.
If I were there, I would have told you just to stop eating it. I'm not going to do it again. I don't want to get too late.
Do it again.
Stop eating my sesame cake!
Fantastic.
I do own Congo on DVD, everybody.
As is
I'm
your
just
right.
Admitting it, yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot.
In the book.
So yeah, 35. But Shane was a little upset by the fact that we missed out on a very big quote, unless he didn't. I mean, I thought it was said at one point in time or another, but he said we missed out on, what do they got in there? King Kong?
Oh, that well, I was going to say, maybe we said it before when we were talking about King Kong, like when we weren't sure what that new area was or something like that, but good one.
That would have been a good one. It was definitely a good one. And
all this feedback from Shane, he's going to make our jobs, we're going to be out of a job. I'm setting you up for a quote right now, and I'm going to be really upset if you don't finish it.
I'm not going to finish it.
Oh.
We've got important stuff to do. This was just, I was going to say
extinct.
Well,
that was the quote.
I was going to say that to more towards it.
That was not going to. That moment was not going to slip by without the quote being thrown in.
Yeah, we'll eventually get to do another Hall of Fame series, and we'll throw in another attraction. I mean, whenever we do Beetlejuice, like we promised we would do eons and decades ago, I mean, we can start pulling in Beetlejuice quotes. There's not as many good ones for that.
But I'm utterly alone.
You're starting early. Save it. Save it.
Yeah, now you can't use that whenever we get to that episode. But 35, I think we should be extremely proud of ourselves, those who actually participated in the quoting, and those of us who were just trying to corral it all in and calm the nonsense down.
Would you say you're the Chris Pratt to our Raptors? Is that what you're suggesting? You're the Owen Grady to my blue?
No.
Okay.
No, we're... let's save that. That's going to be more towards the end. Just because there's other more important things.
Do you have another, really quick, because I just remember one. I'm sorry. Not a quote. This is a housekeeping thing. I don't know if it's in your notes, but somebody on YouTube did correct, was saying that in the first Jurassic Park movie, they actually do mention the river adventure. And I have since watched it, and... they do very quietly, and it's like we're not even in that conversation. We're in another conversation, and you can hear John Hammond say the word "river adventure" in the background. So the person said it as if he was saying it to them. So they were correct in the scene, and they were correct that it was mentioned, but it wasn't in the context where they said it was. But I still thought it was really cool. I remember who that was, but I apologize. But thank you for that heads up.
Was that in the comments for our video last week?
Yeah. I think it was a newer comment. I think it was within the last like 3 or 4 days or something like that. I can look it up while you talk about the whatever.
That's fine. I still haven't caught up on a lot of that busy work since getting back. But I believe you, and I believe that person. And yeah. I just got them on Blu-ray, so now I can officially watch all the Jurassic Parks over again.
It's a good set.
It is a good set, and I'm trying to figure out right now what the correct order is to actually watch them in. I'm thinking you watch Jurassic Park, and then Jurassic World, and then you go back and you watch Jurassic Park again, and then you watch 2, and then you go back and watch Jurassic Park again, and then you watch 3. That would be the correct viewing order.
Yeah, because I would say one.
Where's the logic for that? Why are you watching the first movie 3 times?
Essentially... All 2 and 3 and World are all sequels to 1, but in a straight line, it's just kind of off. But 1 can be, or 2 can be used as a direct sequel to 1, 3 can be used as a direct sequel to 1, and World is obviously, it's been stated, it's a direct sequel to 1. So okay. I think it works out really well.
Well, 3's not a direct sequel to 1, it's a direct sequel to 2. Because the third one is on the island from the second movie. It was originally supposed to have Jeff Goldblum in it, but he, like, something happened right before filming, and that's why Sam Neill's character is in it. And he even says in the movie, like, I wasn't on this island. God, that movie's
terrible. But it screws up the continuity.
Oh, yeah, I agree with the order.
Because of the jump of Sam Neill leaving and then coming back in, that just null and void everything that was supposed to happen.
I see how you're saying, too. Yeah. Okay.
No, I'll fight this one.
I agreed with your order immediately. In fact, you threw in an extra Jurassic Park viewing that I probably wouldn't have done, but it's nice because it rinses you. It's like rinsing your mouth out before you eat another course.
Well, you know what? Then why don't, at the end, we throw in Jurassic Park for a
good
fourth
measure
time.
And cap
just
it
do
off,
it. Yeah. So that way, at least you're ending on a high note.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, exactly. So what do we think? Are we ready to... did I say weddy?
We're weddy.
Are we weddy?
We're hunting for rabbits. Yeah.
Well, instead of hunting for rabbits, why don't we jump into what is buzzing this week? Do we know what's buzzing this week?
I do.
You do? Well, I will start to pull it up on the screen, and then we'll talk about what's buzzing this week. So the first thing buzzing this week, of course, the imminent... not so imminent closure of Wet n Wild Orlando.
I'm actually sad about this. I don't know if you guys care anything about it, but I do.
I haven't been.
Yeah. Well, you better go soon.
I know.
You will never go ever.
To Eli yesterday or somebody, I was like, I guess I got to go now.
Yeah. So let's throw this into context, obviously. So earlier this week, yesterday, from whenever we're recording this, Universal... specifically Tom Schroeder, in charge of PR there. He put out a press release letting everyone know that Wet n Wild would be closing as of December 31st, 2016. So that's why I said not so imminent, because if you haven't
year
been...
year and a half.
Yeah, you have.
To make it out there, yeah.
Exactly. Plenty of time to make it out there. And of course, they said flat out, you know, with all the groundbreaking of Volcano Bay and everything that's happening with that, it's, you know, that's coming up. So Wet n Wild almost made it, as of whenever it'll close, it'll be nearly 40 years since it originally opened. And yeah, it's just moving to make way for a better theme park experience, since it's going to be a water theme park and not necessarily a water park.
I don't think that was the America's first water park either, because they said that in the release, or people have been saying that, but I also read that River Country had opened in 76.
Yeah, River Country was there, but River Country is more of like a easy, relaxing place to just kind of hang out. Wet n Wild was the first water park that was actually more like a thrill type.
Yeah. Oh, theme. First, like,
I don't want to say theme park is a water park, but had more of a thrill aspect to it. You know, River Country just kind of like hang out in your inner tube.
Yeah, well, exactly. And that's the point. And I'm in theme parks, water aspects go all the way back to the 1900s. So I grew up in Pennsylvania, and the theme park right in Pittsburgh area is Kennywood. And I mean, we'd watch documentaries about it back in the day, and it would have this, there was this one section of the park that was just a giant swimming pool and kind of hang out there. And so people would go to some amusement parks, really old ones, and take part in that. And that's almost what River Country was. I mean, it was this big giant lake. Mm. Or, well, kind of pond,
like
area.
A slide or something.
Yeah, I mean, there was
like
Lazy
sectioned
River.
Off area of the lake.
Yeah. And whereas Wet n Wild, it opened up, and as Jenny Lynn said, it was more thrilling. There was actual water slides. It wasn't just a pool.
Okay. Well, I'd never been to either of them, so it's interesting to hear that. Like, that's kind of a cool fact that I didn't know that the first one would have been oriented in Orlando to begin with. So, I mean, it makes sense. Yep. It's hot here.
Yep. I mean, it's sad for the people who love Wet n Wild, and I think that's one of the key things I didn't really think about whenever they announced this news. A lot of people actually admitted that they were kind of sad to see it go, including Jenny Lynn. And
well, yeah, it's almost as old as I am. And I mean, it's not like I visit there every year or anything like that, but I went there a number of times as a teen, and so I have some kind of like, you know, little sentimental memories of going to Wet n Wild with my youth group. And
I didn't realize it was 40 years old until that press release either, because I thought, like, did it get a makeover? Wasn't there a water park that mm-hmm. opened within the last 8 years here? Since I've lived here, I thought there was a water park that had just opened, but it might have just been Wet n Wild had opened a new thing, and that's when I had first heard of it.
Yeah, they worked it over. They made it nicer. I think Wet n Wild went through a little bit of a spell where it was
It wasn't always Universal either, right?
No, it wasn't. And there was a time where it was kind of like, ew, Wet n Wild, you might want to stay clear of there, but
yeah,
they kind of turned it around.
Yeah, I believe Universal bought Wet n Wild in 2008. That's probably actually way more recent than it actually
was.
1998. Maybe 19.
I think I read it this morning. Yeah. I was doing a Wikipedia.
1998.
Okay. Well, yeah. So they bought it then. And I mean, Universal, up until recently with Volcano Bay, they were pumping money into it too. And like, they had the Aqua Drag Racer that opened up mm-hmm. just 2 years ago. That mm-hmm. was a very big deal for them. And, so I know a lot of the things they've learned about from that water park and maintaining and operating it, they're going to put into Volcano Bay, but just in a more themed and exciting experience overall. So, and you know, they own that land. So this is going to make way for more space that Universal has now for either hotels. Anything else. I don't want to say third gate. It's not that big mm-hmm. that it could really handle that, but definitely they could throw up like two that, hotels, right? I'd say.
They refer to it as a third gate, right? Or were saying
Volcano
a third.
He's saying using the land where Wet n Wild is for another gate.
Oh. Yeah.
But that is probably not.
Well, I did read that it was a little confusingly worded, but this morning when I was looking up that stuff, I read that they have purchased land surrounding, but it wasn't specific if they were talking about Volcano Bay or Wet n Wild. But they had said that Universal has recently purchased more land.
I think they were talking about the land around Wet n Wild, extra little parcels of land.
Yeah. Well, then they must be doing something with it. Like,
yeah.
Well, they'll do something with it, definitely. I mean, it's sad that Wet n Wild is going, but I'm sure that it's going to be replaced with, you know, Volcano Bay should just knock our socks off. I think the only real loss with Wet and Wild is the sentimentality.
I hope
of it.
So. Who likes swimming with socks?
Oh, that's exactly what I was saying. I was going to say.
Okay.
Who's going to a water park wearing socks to begin with? But if you are, then it will hopefully knock your socks off.
Might knock off your water shoes, whatever.
Does anyone still use water shoes? Honestly.
I think Europeans do. I don't know. I've seen them, especially
thongs
in water,
and water
parks.
Shoes.
That's their jam. Jamie Dodges.
Well, fantastic. We'll miss it. Hopefully we'll have a chance to get over to Wet n Wild before its closure. I mean, that only gives us a year and a half to do so. I think it's very possible at some point in time we'll be able to get over. And
I love that they're closing the 31st of December, too, where they're like, we're keeping it open this entire year, but not a second longer.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. It would make more sense to me closing it up right before the fiscal year ends, right in October. But
yeah, and then I feel like the attendance can't
also
be too high in the end of the year.
Who goes to water parks in, you know, between October and December?
I do, because when you worked at Disney, that's when you could get in free to the two water parks, but also because I'm from Massachusetts, it is still... I don't care. If it's 60 degrees, it's warm enough to go swimming.
Oh, not for me.
Especially if the pool's heated, like they are.
I'm always cold by the time Halloween comes around. No water. That's not water weather for me. Sorry. Okay.
Oh,
back on track.
No, I mean, it's... I go to water parks never because I don't like swimming with other people. I'll use personal pools.
Like
if I'm
like
really
a pool you buy at Walmart, like the small circle.
How is this going to work when we go to Wet and Wild then, Craig?
I don't know. I honestly don't know.
You're just going to sit in a lounge chair while
be like the dad and
the
just, hey, kids, enjoy your
hold
water
our bags
slide.
While he sits by the wave pool.
No, because you even know me and I don't
hold
like
bags.
Sun. So no matter how.
Trip.
Yeah, no matter how you slice it and dice it here, it's not working out because I don't like sun and I don't like getting in the water. I know they keep it chlorinated and all that, but people pee so much in it.
Dude, I'm gonna go in it. You can videotape me all you want. I'll be like the pale beached whale going down.
All I have to say, the chlorine. I actually drove by Wet n Wild the other day because I live near.
Yeah.
I drive in my car with the windows up, driving past Wet n Wild. I could still smell the chlorine. And we were distracted by whatever's rebooting right now.
I think it was WALL-E in the background. That would be Eve.
That was the sound of the laptop restart. Oh, were we?
Oh, Jesus.
I'm like the guy who's like, the ride closed because there was a death. And people are like, who's magic? And I'm like, somebody die. What are you talking about? We can all see it. Okay.
Anyway.
Okay. So anyway, Wet n Wild's closing.
And we're done.
Yep. So let's move on to the next item that is buzzing this week. And that is, this was more last week, but we're covering it now. So they finally announced the first house for Halloween Horror Nights, mm-hmm. and it is Freddy versus Jason, as you can see on the bottom of the screen, if you couldn't figure that out already. So this doesn't come as much of a surprise to us because, well, I believe this was one of the houses we talked about that was already rumored to be coming here.
Well, I was surprised because I was reading a thing that said there hasn't actually been a Freddy versus Jason house before, that they've had like them at the same time in two separate houses.
No, they absolutely have had them in their own separate houses.
Yeah.
But this is
who is that? Were you gonna play a scary commercial?
Oh no, this that just got really scary.
Just took over.
It's been a murder.
What is happening in this
in
video
Savannah?
Today?
Something just popped up in the background on my screen. That was scary. But anyways, yeah, so this is the first year of Freddy versus Jason. And as they're kind of more or less saying it, Freddy versus Jason, and then slightly also versus us. Because, well, how fun would it be to go to a Halloween Horror Nights house and, you know, they're not trying to scare us at all.
Okay. I'd be okay with that.
All I have to say is they are starting off with a bang. I don't think anything gets me... honestly, the concept of this house scares me more than any other house that I've ever been in the last 3 years at Halloween Horror Nights. I am terrified of Freddy Krueger. Terrified. That was like my first horror slasher film I ever watched, and I didn't sleep for 2 months after that.
I'm terrified of having to rewatch Freddy vs. Jason to familiarize myself with the scenes from it.
The 2003 film.
Well, they even said in the announcement that they were going to use, that it was going to be scenes from the movie. So, you've never seen Freddy vs. Jason? And that is literally the only Freddy or Jason movie I've actually seen in
the
movie theater.
I've never seen a Jason movie at all, so... I mean, I don't
the
know
first,
too much
about it.
But
Freddy
Krueger scares
Friday
the crap
the 13th
out of me.
Is a good movie.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really have an opinion on either of the film series.
Kevin Bacon, brah.
Okay, that's great. Say that again, please. But
Kevin Bacon, brah.
Okay.
He didn't actually mean it right now.
Yeah, it's hypothetical. no, I've never been a huge fan of Nightmare on Elm Street or...
Friday the 13th,
thank you.
Yeah.
Sorry, trying to do too
much. Well, I don't know when they became Jason. It's always so weird because it's like Friday the 13th, I think like the first two or three of that, and then becomes like, and then it's called Jason, isn't it? Jason Takes Manhattan?
Well, yeah, but it was still like...
And then Jason X?
It was still, you know, Friday the 13th, Jason Takes Manhattan, Friday the 13th, 6th.
Oh, it was like
the
subtitle or something like that?
Yeah, kind of like there's 19 Leprechaun movies, and you got Leprechaun 8 back in the hood.
I have only seen Leprechaun 7, Loose on the Island. I don't know. I couldn't think of a funny title. But I've only seen the remake of Nightmare on Elm Street because I had really high hopes. I thought, like, the idea is really cool.
You didn't see the original one with Johnny Depp?
Well, I've seen up to when Johnny Depp bites it, and then I was like, I'm out.
That's in the beginning.
Because I was in high school.
Isn't it?
It's
a little way
halfway through.
Okay.
I'd say. He doesn't bite
right.
it till toward the end.
Sorry, I don't think I've seen it since I was a wee little JL, but...
But yeah, I've only seen the remake, which wasn't awesome. And then I've seen Freddy vs. Jason because I thought in the preview, I was like, oh, the cinematography looks kind of cool in this movie. That was also like 2003 and I was about to go to school for film. What a fool I was. What a fool.
Yeah, there was that awful string of remakes that were like just centered around people who were 17 and 18 whenever they did Texas Chainsaw Massacre and that led into...
Well, I liked the first one,
led into the Halloween, the Rob Zombie Halloween
Those
reboots.
Those are disturbing, yeah.
And it just not an awesome time. But yeah, Jason, Freddy versus Jason, coming to us. I am hopeful of what's going to happen, but for some reason I'm just scared that it's going to be a rehash of what happened with Alien versus Predator in Orlando, where even though they're supposed to be fighting each other, you're never going to see them actually fighting each other.
Oh.
Yeah, that's
you didn't really. They just kind of popped up. But I liked the Alien versus Predator house. I thought it was one of the best ones that year.
It was good. Just in Hollywood, they actually fought each other. Like, if you were walking through and instead of like in Orlando where one pops out on you on one side and that was mm-hmm. it, they'd have them pop out on both sides. So that way it really was like they were both
walking through the clash.
And yeah. If they can actually incorporate that in how this is happening, like, you know, you're walking through in your line and on one side you have Jason popping out, the other side you have Freddy Krueger popping out, then it could add another element of actual terror, and then it could be really good.
I don't know how I'm going to handle this. I'm seriously, just the thought, I'm getting scared just even thinking about it.
Well, there's always blindfolds, earplugs.
I don't think they'll let you go in blindfolded. I think it would be a safety.
So
just wear sunglasses.
I'm just going to hide my eyes in
but that's gonna,
one of your all's shirts
that
or something.
That makes you a bullseye.
Cannot...
Too. That you got to play it cool. You'd walk in.
I know. That's just not even
what
possible.
What are you guys doing here?
Wait, so are you saying that blind people aren't allowed to walk through because it's a safety hazard?
No. I mean, they'll have their cane, right? their thing that goes back and forth with the ball on the end of it.
I'm going to avoid that before it gets a little too...
I don't know. I would assume that they have in an unfamiliar... Yeah, I would assume that they have to have somebody with them. Otherwise, it's just... How would they know where they're going?
Exactly. So why can't someone walk through blindfolded or with their eyes closed?
Well, we can put this to the test. Stay tuned for our October.
Oh, I'm pretty sure at least a fifth of the people who go through these houses are
probably
having their eyes closed.
Shirt over their head or something.
I'm in that category.
Yeah,
I don't look at very much of... I mean, I'm barely able to go through these houses. Most of it is not with my eyes open.
Yeah, no, Kylie doesn't ever have her eyes open, or I can feel her burying her face in my back.
That
and
is exactly
the trick
is, exactly
is to go in the middle, guys. You can't be in the end because then they know, and you can't be in the beginning because then they know. So you just got to be right in the middle and walk as casually as
I
you can.
I always make it through because I grip onto the person's shirt that's in front of me that I'm hiding my eyes in, and then I just walk along because the shirt pulls me where I'm supposed to go. That's how you do it.
I just get frustrated because why are you going through if you're so afraid of these things? Not necessarily fun. You. I'm talking about the people who do close their eyes and.
Oh, I was going to say, I go through because I love the production of it. You know what I mean? Like I for me, it feels like what Universal is, which is why I appreciate that it exists, because I love being able to feel like I'm in the movie. That's why I thought the Mike Myers house last year, the Halloween house, yeah, was great, because it was the iconic scenes of the movie. And so I hope that they do, like what you were saying, the same thing, where it's going to be like us on the beach, where like Freddy and Jason, you know, I hope Jason has the head of Freddy at the end or something like that, you know, like.
No, spoilers. To answer your question, this is how I do it. So I usually get every year I've gotten the frequent fear pass. So when I first go, I'm always like scared, beyond scared, like barely able to handle it, as I've told you before. And I peek out and I look every once in a while, or, you know, just out of my peripheral vision. That's how I experience the houses first time. Then like around the third time or fourth time I go, I'm able to look a little bit more. I'm never able to go in a house by myself, though. I never get to that point.
See, I'm never actually afraid. I mean, like I am. I don't like... It's only things that pop out behind things that scare me, because I'm a human being and everybody gets scared when somebody jumps out of around the corner. You saw that video of Chris Pratt with the dinosaur coming at him around the corner. That would scare me. Like it's sudden movement out of nowhere and it just fries your nerves eventually. Like
no, everything scares me. If they make eye contact with me, I just lose my mind.
I just start laughing uncontrollably. Like I'll probably laugh when I get murdered someday.
If you keep it up, it's not going to be much longer. I'm just throwing that out there. Any final thoughts on Freddy versus Jason? We'll never talk about it again, even whenever we get to Halloween.
Good start.
No. Okay, that was literally a final thought. So let's move on to the meat and potatoes of this show. It's what everyone expected. I don't know if that's the truth, but it's what is actually happening. And what's up?
I'm humming the theme
He's
song.
He's singing for us.
Yeah. Giving you some fanfare.
Giving us,
some BGM.
Okay. I don't know. This already feels weird. It feels like
I'm doing the overture.
I hear it now, and it's just, it's like, I already feel like I'm at a news anchor's desk for everyone who's watching and not listening. If you're listening, this means nothing, but for those of you who are watching, I feel like I'm on some MSNBC, like, show, and just, I'm going to start spitting.
Back to Craig in the studio.
Now I'm here and I'm just going to talk about this and that, throwing it to you guys out there. What do you think?
I agree with you.
Yeah, usually it's split screen and all that. So. Oh,
okay. Yeah, I won't participate without a split screen.
Yeah, sorry for everyone who's listening who just had to put up with that. It's 15 seconds of your life you'll never get back. So let's do this. Jurassic World opened up last Friday, and it set no records at all. It was the bust that we all expected it to be. It only made back, I think, $5 million in its opening night.
I wonder how many people you are driving crazy right now that are... Like listening to this, probably like I wish we had like real life cut twos so I can just cut to the guy in the car who's just like screaming like 80 million in his car.
It made no money at all. It was just a complete disaster. It's going to ruin the careers of Chris Pratt and Bryce Dallas Howard, but at least she always has her daddy to fall back on.
Ron. Ron Howard.
Fantastic. No, so it had the largest weekend ever in movie history, film debut.
Don't stop there, Craig.
Oh, I won't then. It also had the largest worldwide
stop there, Craig.
It also had the biggest opening for a Friday.
All right, stop.
It had the biggest opening for a Monday. It didn't even open on a Monday, but it still somehow managed it. It figured it out.
I just always, as soon as they're like, biggest Life global opening, away. Although what I thought was really interesting is that Jurassic Park actually had the largest global opening of a movie ever before it had the largest domestic box office open of a movie ever. Like, it had to make $4 more million, I think, or something like that before it could beat the Avengers, which didn't make sense to me because I don't know how it works. Like, I guess it opened in more theaters. I don't know, whatever. But it climbed that ladder on up to where we wanted it to be and took the number one spot like a Jurassic Park should.
Yeah, I also want to clarify too. on the whole Monday matter. It was only the third biggest Monday ever.
Oh, for like, as in like biggest, 3 days ago.
But the biggest non-holiday Monday. So like, you know, whenever you have that Monday off because of Memorial Day weekend.
Oh, yeah, okay.
There's been bigger ones of that. But it's still the third of
a non-holiday. Well, I saw it at 4 o'clock, and it was like my movie theater was full.
So it's the biggest of a non-celebratory Monday.
Yes.
Okay.
And the third of a celebratory Monday included. So it's pretty nuts.
Go Jurassic World.
Yeah, I mean, long story short, this is a phenomenon. I know we kind of talked about it. I don't know if it was on the show or if it was just in person whenever we were talking about it, but pretty sure it was on the show. Whenever we were talking about anticipated movies for the summer, I mean, everyone knows Star Wars is coming out mm-hmm. in December, so we were kind of on the fence of whether or not this was the most anticipated movie of the summer, if it was the Avengers, where it kind of all stacked out, but I think...
I guess we found out.
Yeah, it's... Whoa, and there's Rhino. Hey.
I'm answering people in chat right now. That's why I was leaning.
Fantastic. Did anyone ask where our intro music went?
No. Somebody,
I'm still asking it.
Oh, no. Somebody was saying something about, like, had to take biggest box office numbers, but they were asking about inflation, and I'm trying to explain that it's even accounting for inflation, it's still a massive right. movie. I don't know what movie you're referring
we
to
don't know
with
where
inflation if you're talking about Jurassic Park, but
in terms of opening weekend, I'm not sure.
Okay. I'm going to try and look it up right now if you keep talking.
Yeah, that's well, I know I'm done. Oh. It's over.
Are we so I saw the movie.
Oh, okay.
I liked it. Yeah. My kids loved it.
Remember, no spoilers on this. We don't want to ruin this for anyone who hasn't seen it. Which,
well, they need to go see it. This is kind of a you have to do it type of thing. And it's your patriotic duty as an American.
I
go see it.
See, it's for me, this is all just very refreshing because we're very used to now saying, oh, if it's a Disney movie, then include Marvel in there. It's guaranteed to be a hit, obviously. Avengers was a huge, massive success. I don't know how Ant-Man's going to do. I would say probably not as well as other ones in past. It's definitely not going to do as well as Guardians of the Galaxy. It's just not going to be as entertaining. Yes,
okay,
Rhino.
This thing I'm reading is Jurassic Park accounting for inflation is the 16th highest grossing movie maybe ever. It looks like Jaws is number 7, but $746,406,300. So that's how much it would be today. And as of like today, Jurassic World is almost at that number.
Yeah.
So it's almost made. I guess we can just put it in like the show notes page if you want that real information, or just you can message me or something and we can chat about it. I like numbers like that, but
just send me the link and I will link to it in the show notes page. But for Universal, I mean, you haven't heard besides Furious 7, obviously, which was also a complete surprise.
That was their biggest that was their Universal's largest opening weekend ever until this weekend too. So they're having a great year.
Well, that was my point entirely. This has just become a whole new playing field for Universal. We're obviously strictly mostly about the theme parks as much as we can be, but this all ties in together because the better their movies do, eventually it's going to come back in the theme parks and we're going to eventually start seeing attractions from it. The fact that they have had two of the biggest movies of the year now is just a complete surprise. And from some of the stories I was reading this week, they think that despite Inside Out opening up, the new Pixar movie that is pretty much being universally loved by everyone. I still think
really
it has 100% on Rotten Tomatoes, but they think that Jurassic Park is still going to take this weekend completely away from it, even with the family factor.
Nothing against Inside Out, but there is a little part of me that kind of hopes it does, just because I like when movies have a staying power like that sometimes. Like, even if it's just this weekend and it goes away next weekend or something like that. Because there's other movies I'm looking forward to. Like, I hope Terminator Genesis does well because I'm very interested to see how that's – because that's being claimed to be a franchise reinvigorator. So I'm hoping for, like, the same kind of uniqueness as Jurassic World was to carry over into this other franchise. And I don't want it not to do well, but I also – you know, you want to root for, like, movies to last, you know? I don't want it to just be, like, a puff of smoke.
Oh, no, I'm right there with you. I don't even. What's the last movie that's really had that staying power? I mean, Avatar has.
Was
Titanic
a couple of weeks,
has.
And I know the movie that knocked Titanic down, too. It was Lost in Space. So Titanic was number one from when it came out in like December until Lost in Space came out in like April.
Gosh, of all the things.
That's awesome.
I knew that because I was the age and I loved Lost in Space, the TV show, as a kid because I used to watch it after school. And so I was very excited to see that movie in the movie theater. And I really enjoyed that movie in the movie theater. I'm an adult now. I understand that movie is not awesome. But I was happy to cut. At that point, I was like, all right, give it a rest. Come on, Titanic, move on. Like, get out of here. I want it to last for a certain amount of time, but Titanic was getting to the point where it was like
Titanic
you'd go to school and it was like the girls at school had brought in like their ticket stubs of how many times they'd seen it. So at that point, it was becoming like annoying.
Oh, I
you see what I'm saying? Like it wasn't like I want movies to last, but
I was just letting you go on and on while I was thinking about the probably the last movie that's ever had that staying power, and then it just hit me over the head like
it was
a bag
Avatar,
of bricks.
Was it? Harry
what
Potter?
Is it, Craig?
Frozen.
Oh.
I want to throw my microphone through something really hard right now.
But, I mean, it's true. That's the last one that really didn't – I mean, it didn't even open up as first. It opened – Frozen opened up as second and then made it to first and then was at first like the next couple weeks.
Just goes to show you terrible movies can stay at number one for as long as good movies can as well.
Absolutely. So Jurassic World, we have to give it a round of applause in how excellent it's been doing. And
well done, Stevie.
Let's take just a brief couple seconds here. I think we've all seen the movie that are in this room, and I know Dustin has too. And if we could Skype him in, we would. But
he spoke very highly of it. Yeah. I saw his Facebook status.
Like. Exactly. So I'm going to shoot it to you first, Rhino, with your thoughts on the movie. I know Jenny Lynn started talking about it, but we'll wrap back into her. And let's go, Rhino.
Okay, I saw it first thing when I got back from Puerto Rico on Monday. Sometimes when I go to see movies like that I'm really excited for, like I have to see it twice solely on the fact that I'm so anxious the first time that it makes for a very nervous theater-going experience for me. I liked it the first time, and when I saw it the second night, I went with Eli and a friend of his and saw it in IMAX, and that was an amazing movie going experience. I thought I recommend, as with the original Jurassic Park, these type of movies are meant to be seen in a movie theater on the largest screen that you can find. So I definitely recommend that. I thought the movie itself was really good. Like I love that it feels so different from the other ones. Mm-hmm. I love the idea, and from working in a theme park, and you know our job here is all about theme parks, is that I loved that it was a fully realized version of like John Hammond's dream. So it's almost like it exists in the same universe, but it's almost like that little alternate thread where it's like, what if everything had gotten all the way through and then, you know, stuff hit the fan. Yeah. Like, so I love that exploration. I love the exploration of, I'm getting too detailed, but I loved consumerism. I loved the people. My friends said they had issues with product placements. I love the product placement in the movie because, like Bryce Dallas Howard even comments on it right away in the beginning of the movie. And when they go into Jurassic World, that's supposed to be like City Walk when they go up. So there's like a Margaritaville in there, and there's like a Ben and Jerry's and stuff. And I'm like, these are shops that you see when you go to a theme park. If they weren't there, I would feel like this wasn't an actual theme park. So like, I thought that was a cool. It's a must see. It's a must see. I can't wait to see it again. I think you should definitely take a minute when you're done and kind of sit and just think about it too, because I think some people pass their judgments really fast, and I like to reserve it for a few minutes and let it like, you know, stew for a bit. And I'm just gonna say I'm gonna enjoy it more with time. With that said, though, there are a couple of like goofy moments in the movie. Like it's not a perfect movie, but like there are movies for me that I'm gonna love to say, and I can't say any of them because they involve a swear. But
okay, you've made your point, Jenny Lynn.
I'm real excited.
Rhino is very excited. I'm excited as well. So I went to go see this movie with my kids. All of us loved it. It was a great experience. What I really like about this movie is, it's in the same series, but at the same time, it actually really holds its own. I love how it refers to the first movies, like he was saying, with John Hammond. There's a lot of references there. But and you feel connected that way, but at the same time, this is a almost almost completely different storyline. I think the thing that stood out to me the most about this particular film, one that I really, really loved, is that the dinosaurs in the movie aren't just the monsters and the villains that you want them to die, die, die. This time, the dinosaurs actually have personalities and character that you latch onto. And it builds and builds and builds to the end where there's this fantastic ending, and I won't say anything more about it, but it's... I feel like there's more heart in this one, and I loved it. I loved it for that reason. I want a pet Velociraptor now. The end.
Yeah.
I do not want a pet a Velociraptor.
I do.
There was a specific scene in that movie that is like, do not pet a Velociraptor.
I want one. I want to be Chris Pratt in my own home.
Oh, fantastic. Now, I still don't know how I actually stand on the movie. I'm keep going back and forth in my mind. I sat through the whole credits just thinking about it, like I do with any movie. Even when there's not something at the end of the credits, I still need to say, I take that nice 5 minutes to really decompress and think about what happened. And I got out of the theater and I texted Rhino right away, knowing that he would have seen it as soon as he was back from Puerto Rico, however you pronounce it. I know it's a place. And it was such a good nostalgia fest.
Mm-hmm.
Just in not necessarily any of the themes of the movie or anything like that. Yeah, that stuff's all great. Everything Rhino talked about. But I just whenever that music kicked in, even though it wasn't the same John Williams score, mm-hmm. it was Michael Giacchino. And, mm-hmm. you know, just using those same music cues because you have to. You can't mm-hmm. just... completely change everything up. And as soon as that French horn or whatever kind of horn it is kicks in with a and then you know all that, so the whole time I was able to put aside the kind of poorly written script and some of the
it's got its moments,
some of the shakier acting, especially from Vincent D'Onofrio. I've never know how to pronounce his name, even
D'Onofrio. I don't know how to say it either. It's got that weird apostrophe in it.
Gomer Pyle from Full Metal Jacket. I'll just go with that. There were some inconsistencies with the movie for sure, but it's overall it's gonna invigorate a lot into Universal now because of how much of a success it has been. And I know
I would say it doesn't top the first one. It's not of that caliber.
Perfect movie.
Yeah, it's not of that caliber, but it does stand alone. And you're talking about the casting is the casting isn't as good as the first one. The script isn't as good. The first one's so awesome because there's so much build up behind the story before you actually get into the part where the dinosaurs, you know, all havoc breaks loose. This one kind of jumps right into that, and you sort of don't know as much about the characters in the film before you start getting into all that. But it's still I love the dinosaurs in this movie.
I think anyone who's trying too desperately to compare this to the first one is not going to enjoy it as much as they could, because I don't want this to be a copy. Like, there are parallels in this movie to the first one, which I like. You know, it's two kids lost, whatever. Like, I like that stuff. I'm not oblivious to that stuff. Like, some people in this chat think I am. We've seen dinosaurs. Like, they even say this in the movie where, like, the reason why they create this Indominus Rex is because people are not fascinated with dinosaurs anymore. And Chris Pratt says, like, a dinosaur should be enough, and she says something like it's not. And that's the hard part is like in 1993 we had never seen real dinosaurs, and Steven Spielberg created real dinosaurs for us, like, so we saw a reality. Nowadays there aren't movies like that anymore, because now we know anything that we can dream of we can see in person, and in 1993 we didn't know that, you know, like there wasn't that technology. We hadn't seen these movies that had these worlds like that. And so that's another factor that you have to tone in there as well, you know, like that's why there isn't that big reveal when it comes to it. Like, you're supposed to know about this park.
Yep. And I think that's a very good brief review of the movie from all of us. So that's going to kind of kick off what's happening with the buzz, but let's keep going with the Jurassic World discussion and move into even more of it. So And I know. I just repeated myself. Thank you very much.
I didn't say it. I just laughed. I giggled.
Yeah, you knew what happened. You knew what happened.
I knew what you were going.
So, I saw on Twitter today that obviously whenever we did our shopping 101, we were moving around, especially to Jurassic Park, and we saw that there was Jurassic World merchandise area, merchandise already hitting the shelves. And then as of Twitter today, I saw someone posting that they're starting to get like Jurassic World signage up on different areas of the park. So,
interesting.
Obviously, Jurassic World is going to be coming in some way, shape, or form.
When we went to the Raptor encounter, did they advertise that as Jurassic Park or Jurassic World? I can't remember. I feel like it said park, but I was surprised because I would think that that's where they would have started with the world stuff.
I honestly don't know if it even said Jurassic Park on anything. I'd have to look at a picture have from the area.
Like, you know, they had their name tag and then they have like the patch or something like that. I want to say I remembered looking for it when we were there and I was like, oh, I thought, I feel like it said park. And I remember thinking, oh, it's funny that it says park and not that they wouldn't have, like, maybe they were transitioning. I don't know.
Yeah, I honestly did not pay that close attention to the details, so I can't tell you. But I started to learn more and more about Jurassic Park and doing research for this because I had known, obviously, just a little bit about some of the cooler details of the whole Jurassic Park island, but at Islands of Adventure, to be more specific. But, of course, in my research, that always eventually goes back to, for old dirt and details and more story, it goes back to Orlando United, the great Universal discussion forums. And I never knew that Jurassic Park at Islands of Adventure has nothing to do with Jurassic Park, and it's just a separate park that John Hammond opened up.
Oh, did you see that? Maybe not, because you said you weren't up to date on the comments that somebody left. Somebody left us a link to the opening video from Jurassic Park at Islands of Adventure, hosted by John Hammond. Not Richard Attenborough, but it's somebody who is John Hammond. I watched the first like 2 minutes of it. I wanted to go back and rewatch it, but I thought it was really cool. Like, you should check that out if you haven't. It's on the comments for the last video. But
yeah, so I'll definitely have to go and check it out. So it is a separate Jurassic Park from Jurassic Park in the movies and all that. And so that kind of sets up that storyline. And now adding in Jurassic World elements, clearly the Raptor encounter, that has to do with Jurassic World. That's all Jurassic World. Even they added in the raptor cage holders as part of that too. So
did they have that when we were there?
We didn't walk around to where that was, but they do have those as well. And so they're not really shying away at all about blending these two elements before. So instead of continually circling around. Into how can they bring it together? What do we think is going to actually happen? Or after seeing the movie, what do we think we would want to happen in order to incorporate Jurassic World into the Jurassic Park that we have now at Islands of Adventure?
I'll tell you what I hope does not happen.
Yes.
I hope they do not have us kayaking through some river with dinosaurs all around. That sounds a little bit too scary.
Eli, that was the part of the movie where Eli was like, I want to do that. Because we just did this kayaking thing in Puerto Rico. So
no,
I was like, that's all I could think about. It was just like going to the bay. And I was like, I was a little afraid. I always have this irrational fear that a dinosaur is going to come out of the bushes when it gets too dark out. It's just, this is how I'm going to die in life. They'll find the one dinosaur roaming around this planet and it's going to get me. And so I just was like kayaking. So it was kind of funny. Like then I saw this movie and there's this scene where they're kayaking down this thing. And I was like, oh.
Yeah, that's
future death.
Yeah, obviously in the movie, because it is the fully developed theme park, you get to see a lot more different experiences. In Jurassic Park, you get to see the aspect of it that you have the car ride, the Jeep ride around.
And
for a while, there was actually a thought that instead of Kong, what would happen if that Jeep ride ever made it into that area? And it kind of did in a way, because you do have River Adventure. So it's a boat version of the Jeep ride around. So, I mean, you kind of got that. So we wouldn't want to overdo it. But that's what's nice about Jurassic World, that now you add in these other attractions. So you have the kayaking, you have the monorail that takes you all around the park. And then probably the biggest thing that everyone expects to come to Universal at some point in time.
The big hamster balls.
The gyrospheres. So you've seen it in the marketing. You've seen it everywhere, trailers. It's even in one of the toys. They have the Indominus Rex, and a gyrosphere comes with it, too, that it can eat apart. I haven't looked at it. What's that?
I said that's fun.
That is fun. No, I would actually be willing to buy that toy.
Wait, did you say it was Lego, or was it just like it was a toy? Like it's just like a.
It's one figure. It's one of the figures.
Okay.
It's not a Lego one yet. That would usually Legos are more brick type elements, so it's very hard to get Legos to roll for the most part.
The gyrosphere. Yeah, that's all I was thinking. Like, but
oh, they'll
still cool.
They'll find a way to do the gyrospheres and Legos.
Well, life will find a way.
Okay, here we go again. Thank you.
Anyway, go ahead.
Thank you for that. So that's probably one of the things that people are expecting to happen. There's even been rumors that people have seen blueprints of the technology that it would take to actually make this work. So my idea, if we ever could see it, is they just need to bulldoze over Camp Jurassic and get rid of Pteranodon flyers. And that would probably upset some people with younger kids that like that area, so they can just go and run around. But if this can be done as a nice, gentle, dark ride and not having an Indominus Rex attack you during the middle of it, not that that happens in the movie, but if you can actually incorporate that in where it's one of the... I know, but if it can be an easygoing dark ride, something that Universal really doesn't have besides Cat in the Hat and E.T.
I'd be so on board with that.
My thought with that, though, is that there is... And this is in the very beginning of the movie. There is a kids area in Jurassic World, like the petting zoo. So it's kind of like, it's like our Jurassic Park has that area now. Well, not really. I mean, I guess there isn't really a thing like that. But they could put something like that over there. I don't know how they would do it.
Or if it would just be like pictures. Triceratops.
Yeah, but still, I would level the entire area. So that way, it opens up a whole brand new environment. You can design the ride and still have other elements like the petting zoo in there, but then focus on the gyrospheres, which could be a fun family attraction. Beef them up, make them four seats or six seats instead of the two seats that you see in the movie. Mm-hmm. But just having great animatronics around and trying to keep this from being a 3D, because obviously this could fall into 3D territory really quickly, and it wouldn't be a surprise with Universal if it was going on that. But if they can incorporate great animatronics, or heck, even puppetry, just like at the Raptor Encounter, which is a beautiful, fun experience, this could be one of the better attractions in the park, and it all just comes down to space.
I definitely agree with you. Like, there needs to be this movie says it all. There needs to be a larger presence of Jurassic Park at Islands of Adventure. Like, I think that's they're I'm sure in some boardroom somewhere right now they are already like, man, we should have moved that Kong thing over, like, you know, just two places to the left or something. But
I would even be happy. And this is just me, but if they started, they don't do anything with the lagoon in the middle anymore. It holds together that islands theme, having some water right in the middle of Islands of Adventure. But that's prime real estate.
Fill it in.
Right in the middle. Fill it in. Start. It doesn't have to be completely. You can leave a little section of it, but start throwing in that water. Start leveling it off, filling it up with land. That could,
I wonder,
get an attraction in there.
If they could do that. Like, if you know, because you know how, like, when you you don't enter here, but it looks like you enter there where the Discovery Center is. Like, if they filled forward, like, they could almost bridge Jurassic Park into the Lost Continent, like, and take over some of that land, maybe. I don't know if that then makes it wobbly because they're like,
well, I mean, they
you have to go through another island in the back.
Well, they already have the bridge that connects Jurassic Park to the Lost Continent. They built that specifically during the construction of Wizarding World of Harry Potter because people couldn't get there. It's not open all the time. It's usually only open whenever it's super busy and they need traffic to go around the Wizarding World and try to divert people. But that just would be, they could never make a Jurassic Park, they couldn't make a Wizarding World of Harry Potter sandwich because they have Jurassic on both sides.
Yeah.
That just wouldn't ever happen. But something needs to happen because they're running out of space. I mean, maybe they could get rid of some of the Discovery Center even and they don't need two restaurants in Jurassic Park right now, which is what they have, and neither one of them are good.
It's just funny that the movie, the Jurassic Park movie that is about the fully realized theme park, which is basically what we have, like, it's the movie is the message to the creative team at Universal. That's like, people want that experience. We want that theme park. Like, please make us that theme park. So it's just, it's you know, it's nice that that letter is like a letter, like the fans could all go see this movie, and now that's our letter to the people that is like, please do something.
Yeah, anything. I mean, the only other thing I could suggest is that Universal buys Dr. Phillips High School, tears it down. We don't need it anyways.
Peace out, kiddos.
It's Florida. So
my kid doesn't need to graduate from there.
they can go to another school, or it's Florida. We can just assume that education ends after eighth grade anyways. So it's Florida. So
poor Margo.
But I'm wondering, do you think they're going to remove the Jurassic Park over the entryway and put it, make it say World instead now?
I don't know.
That's my thought.
They can't lose just the Jurassic Park branding, because
I think like the next movie is probably going to be Jurassic Park with a subtitle. It's not going to be Jurassic World 2, or it could be like Jurassic World subtitle. You know what I mean? Like, this is technically Jurassic Park 4, so yeah. It's...
Right now, you have three movies with Jurassic Park in the title, and you only have one with Jurassic World in it. So I don't see them completely jumping ship and doing it, but yeah, they're going to find the way to put World in wherever they can, even if it's a temporary solution right now. But it's always going to end up, in my opinion, going back to Jurassic Park, as it should.
What I love is the character in the movie who has the Jurassic Park t-shirt on.
Yeah,
like, yeah, I love that part too.
Nick Miller from New Girl.
That's a bit insensitive, don't you think?
Colin Trevorrow was like Lucky Charm, I guess. Now
people died.
It was, but him and Lauren Lapkus teamed up together, the girl with the bug eyes and the nose.
What is she from?
She isn't that big in movies and TV. She's really starting to develop now, but she's on a lot of the comedy podcasts I listen to. She's very dirty, very hilarious.
Oh, really? Okay.
She's going to be a nice...
She's funny in the movie. I liked her.
She's going to be a big up-and-coming star, for sure.
Good for them. By the way, if you haven't seen Safety Not Guaranteed, which is this guy's first movie... Before Jurassic World, I highly recommend it. It was one of the best movies I saw like 2 years ago. It's a little small movie. Aubrey Plaza, Jake Johnson. Mark Duplass.
Didn't see it.
You haven't seen it?
No.
Oh my God. I wrote this like paper about it for school. It was one of those movies where I was done watching. I turned it on and watched it again. I loved it. Because it was a movie that, it's for a filmmaker thing. If anyone ever wants to chat about that, you can send me a message and we'll chit chat.
Cool beans. So, any final thoughts on Jurassic World coming to Islands of Adventure?
Please. Happen.
Ditto. Should we need it?
If anyone wants to check out my Instagram, I made a pretty badass Jurassic Park party. Yeah, I said the bad word. Jurassic Park party 1 year ago this Friday, actually. And it cost me about $20 to make, but... There is not, I spared no expense, and there is not a single reference missing from my party. So check out my Instagram. It's the same as my Twitter. And look for those pictures, because I feel like I should repost them or something like that.
Fantastic.
I'm so proud of myself.
Oh, that's very good. So before we finish up, I want to throw out some housekeeping, as always. Probably one of the things I should have mentioned at the top of the show that I just completely forgot to do. And that was happy birthday to the Wizarding World of Harry Potter. It opened 5 years ago today.
Oh my gosh, that was 5 years ago?
Yeah, you were there for the grand.
Diagon
Alley.
I didn't go. So this one opened in
2010.
I guess I don't know. Maybe I waited a year. No, I don't think I waited a year. I think I waited like 2 months, and then I got an annual pass and just kept going.
Yeah, I didn't go for the first time until February 2011, so a little bit 6 months after opening, but that's whenever I got hired to work into the Wizarding World of Harry Potter. So I'm wishing it a very happy birthday today. It's where I spent all my Universal life there. So it's
a good place.
It's a nice heartfelt place. It fills me up with lots of meaning. I'm also going to throw a shout out to the person who birthed me. My mother. It's her birthday tomorrow.
Oh,
so.
Happy birthday, Chris.
Satan.
Yeah, you'll get to meet
her. I'm just kidding. You're not Satan. I apologize.
You'll get to meet her in Hershey, Pennsylvania whenever we go there, so watch your mouth.
The Craig family?
Yes.
Well, I'll be super nice then. That was a dig at Craig, not at your mom, by the way.
That was why I called her Satan, because you're the spawn of Satan. But
oh, yeah.
I think we caught that.
just so Mrs. Craig doesn't think I am bad. Now I'm nervous. I just badmouthed your mother by accident. I'm really nervous to meet her in like a week.
I'm kind of worried that you think my last name this entire time has been Craig.
Your name's not Craig Craig?
Craig,
the host of Universe.
Yep, that's me.
The guy's so nice, they named him twice. Okay. I'm going to go hang myself.
Yep, I'm going to...
Please do.
Yeah, if I don't hang you first. So, yeah, everyone, thank you so much for watching and listening, and make sure you definitely give us thumbs up on YouTube if you like what we're doing, or hit the thumbs down, and beyond that, subscribe to us on iTunes if you don't already, and also rate us on iTunes. Basically, anywhere you can rate us or comment anything to us, definitely use that. We appreciate the feedback, as always. And to find out more of that information, always go to disunplug.com. That's where you will find our show notes page, and that will give you links to our email, which is uopodcast@disunplug.com, and it'll show some of the team's emails. Still not Rhino, because he would definitely abuse that power if we ever gave it to him. And then you will also find out about all of the other...
I have an email.
I know you do. I'm just not telling anyone what it is.
Oh, okay.
You don't need that power. And that's where you can also find out about all of the other Disunplug shows, including the Disney World edition, the Disneyland edition, and of course the trip with Jenny Lynn and Teresa. And Rhino, do you have one more thing to throw in?
Looked I like never respected that power. Now it's gone. I'm sorry, I was trying to work out what part of that scene about power in Jurassic Park I wanted to make the reference to in here. And we never had power. That's the illusion. You said I couldn't be trusted with that power. Get on with it.
That's going to do it for this episode of the Diz Unplugged Universal Edition. We will be back next week with another episode. And hey, there's the music this time. I guess it all worked out in the end. So we will see you later. Oh, yeah, Jurassic Park is Universal.